Welcome to Shir 28 in the Jewish Dietary Laws. We will now begin a discussion of the laws of Trumos and Maisros, which he translates as heave offerings and tithes. So let's begin with Truma. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar 18:8, Vaydaber Hashem el Aharon, Va'ani hinei nosati lecha es mishmeres tirumos soy, l'chol kodshei v'nei Yisrael l'cha nisatim l'mashcha, u'vanacha l'chak olam. Hashem spoke to Aaron, I have given you responsibility for my elevated gifts. I am therefore giving you all the sacred gifts of the children of Yisrael as part of your anointment. These shall be an eternal portion for your descendants. And then we have another pasuk in Devarim 18, psukim 4 and 5. The Torah tells us, Reishis deganecha tiroshecha v'yitzarecha, v'reishis geiz tzonecha titen lo, ki vo bachar Hashem elokecha mikol shivatecha, you must give to the Kohen the first portion of your grain, wine and oil, and the first of your shearing. This is because Hashem your God has chosen him, meaning the Kohanim, and his descendants, out of all your tribes to stand and serve in God's name for all time. The Hebrew word tiruma comes from the Shoresh Resh Vav Mem, which means to lift up, which is meant both in a physical way and in a metaphorical way. By giving some portion of the land's produce to the Kohen, we acknowledge that LaHashem Ha'aretz Umloah, that everything on the earth is God's. As the Kohen, he represents God and the Mikdash, and anything in life that we donate and dedicate to others in terms of our spiritual, intellectual, or material possessions is just a small payment for everything that Hashem has bestowed on us, like we said from Divrei Hayomim, Ki mimecha hakol umiyadecha nosanu lach. And furthermore, the Kohen also represents us in terms of Torah law, and by giving over part of our produce, we express that our material possessions are only a means to an end, and this end is to lift up our personal, social, and national life to the moral heights that the Torah expects from us. Now, conversely, the Kohen is reminded of the same laws by Truma, and that he recognizes that the Torah and Mikdash are not his, but rather they are the property of the entire nation, because the nation is going to him and giving him all these gifts, so this is a constant reminder to him. The Kohen is set in his position by God to minister in terms of the Torah and the Mikdash, and he accepts Truma and Korbanos from the nation, which care for his physical needs, and this reminds him that it is his job to serve God, the Torah, and Hashem's people. So we see both sides of that, how that works for the people, and how it works for the Kohen. Now, Truma is the first type of tithe which is removed. It has special Kedusha, and due to this, it can only be eaten when the Kohen is Tahor, and it itself can become tummy more easily than regular food. And this serves to teach the Kohen to live a lifestyle where he avoids all impurity, because he could only eat Terumah when he is Tahor, which on a symbolic level means avoiding immorality and leading a moral life. When the land of Yisrael was divided up among the tribes, the Levium, we know, did not get a portion in the land, since the Torah tells us that God was to be their share. They are supposed to dedicate their lives to him. The Torah tells us, Vishamiru es mishmarti, the Kohanim guard our spiritual and our moral health. They make sure that the Torah is the basis for our lives. In the holiest place on earth, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the holiest objects of the nation are, right, we have the Luchos and the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, that's the place where Torah is supposed to emanate from for our lives. And we know that most of the Kohanim were dispersed throughout the land, and their job was that they taught Torah. And we know that from Malachi. I mean, I guess we know it historically too, but Malachi spells it out for us in Perek Beis, Sukkim 4 through 7. He tells us the job of the Kohen is as follows. Vidatem, ki shilachti aleichem,
eis hamitzvah hazos, liyos birisias levi amar Hashem tzivakos, birisi hayosa yito, hachayim v'hashalom, v'etinem lo mora, v'yuraini, mipnei shemi, nichasu. Toras emes hayosa b'fihu, v'avla lo nimtza b'svasav, b'shalom, uv'mishor halach iti, v'rabim heshiv me'avon.
Which translates as, know then that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant might be with Levi, says Hashem. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him, and he feared me, and he was afraid of my name, bit of a loose translation. The law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and did turn many away from iniquity. Kisivse Chohein Yishmeru Das,
Visora Yevakshu Mipihu, Kimalach Hashem Tzvakosu. For the Kohen's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Hashem Tzivakos.
And this that Malachi is telling us is an explanation or an expansion of what the Torah tells us in Bamidbar 18:19. The Torah tells us,
Kol terumos hakadoshim asher yarimu bnei Yisrael Hashem nasati lechol vanacha v'livnosecha itecha lecha kolam bris melech olam hi lifnei Hashem lecha ulzaracha itach. All terumos, which we said are offerings that are lifted up, of holy things, which the children of Yisrael offer to Hashem, have I given to you, and your sons and your daughters with you, as a due, it is an everlasting covenant of melach, of salt, before Hashem, for you, and for your children. Now salt, we know, is a preservative, and in a similar manner, the Kohen preserves the nation's everlasting adherence to the Torah. The gifts given to the Kohen remind the farmer of his relationship to the Kohen, to God, and to the Torah. Now, in Divrei Hayamim Beis, 31:4-5, the Navi tells us, Vayomer la'am, liyoshevei Yerushalayim, laseis minas hakohanim v'halviim, leman yechezku besoras Hashem. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Yerushalayim to give the portion of the priests and the Levim, that they might give themselves to the law of Hashem. V'chifrotz ha'davar, hirbu b'nei Yisrael, reishis dagan tirosh v'yitzaru dvash, v'chol tivuas sadeh, umasar hakol lorov heviu. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Yisrael gave in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things they brought in abundantly. Now, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that whichever Kohanim keep the halachos of Hashem have a portion in their kahuna, and whichever ones do not properly keep the law do not have a portion in their kahuna. By the Kohen's teaching, and by the influence of his example, he points the way to the Torah and secures its way of life. We see that Truma is handed to the Kohanim by Hashem, and comes with rights, and comes with responsibilities. The right to Truma is significantly not given to any individual Kohen, but rather it is given collectively to all Kohanim. Every person in Yisrael has the right to choose which Kohen he wishes to give his Truma to, and that's known as Tovas Hana. I, the Yisrael, I have the right and the satisfaction to benefit any Kohen that I want to. And I would assume that part of the reason for that is that the Kohen who's affecting my life, hopefully in this Torah way that we're discussing, I have the ability to give to him, and he will hopefully give back more to me in terms of my spiritual endeavors. Now, there are two kinds of Truma. There's Truma Gedola and Trumas Meiser. Now, Truma Gedola is given directly to the Kohen, while Trumas Meiser is given by the Levi to the Kohen from what the Levi gets from the Yisrael. So why is it called Truma Gedola? This has nothing to do with the amount of Truma given, because midiraisa, on a biblical level, I can give as much or as little as I wish to the Kohen, but rather this expression Truma Gedola refers to the importance that is associated with Truma. If I give even one grain, then on a
D'oraisa level, I've fulfilled my obligation. And we learn from this that Truma Gedola is really only something which is symbolic. It's the idea, in this case, which really counts, not the amount that one gives. However, our Chachamim have set up for us that one should give somewhere between a 40th and a 60th, depending on a person's individual generosity. Now, before Truma is separated, we call it Tevel, and it's usher to consume Tevel, and if one does, then you get divine punishment, or you're at least you're subject to it. Once even one grain is removed from the pile for the Kohen, for Truma, and as far as the Torah is concerned, the entire produce is now lifted up onto the level of the Mikdash, in a philosophically speaking way, and the rest of the pile becomes permissible for a person to eat. Now, Truma is Kachim. It has special rules, special holiness to it. Could only be eaten by Kohanim, and then only when the Kohen is Tohor. By lifting up the Truma, the farmer proclaims that everything in his possession maintains this dual form of body and soul. Everything that we own is justified only if we use it according to Hashem's will. There is a machlokas if Truma applies on a commercial level, or if it only applies to the individual, as well as a machlokas if it applies only to the specific three foods that the Torah mentioned, which are grain, wine, and oil, or perhaps it applies to all fruits. So this concludes Shir number 28 in our discussion of Terumah, and next time we will discuss Maaser.